I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Sandpit Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to All the Small Games. My name is Andrew Levins, and joining me today in flesh.
Oh, my God.
In the flesh.
Oh. Not in flesh. All right, David Cronenberg, settle down.
This is our first time. Have we not seen each other?
This is the first IRL. Time I think we've recorded IRL since New Year's, maybe?
Whoa. No, it can't be true, right? Is it?
Maybe, because we had by the way, it's Jonathan Valenzuela here. Yeah, I'm not sure if that was mentioned.
No, your full name is all of those sentences you just said. We did the Devolver episode.
Oh, yes, of course.
Was it early March? I feel like that was the last time we recorded together.
Everything pre-pandemic is so hazy.
Have I even
now.
Seen you since March?
I don't think so, no.
Jesus, that's the longest time you and I have gone without seeing each other since 2003?
Probably.
That's fucked. That's crazy.
Since 2003, like, when we really didn't see anyone at all.
Yeah,
didn't
yeah.
see each other at all.
We did the Zoom recordings for a while, but even there, it became difficult even doing those for a bit.
Yeah.
Look, we're gonna talk about games.
Yes.
But John, you have some news you want to share.
I do. I'm very happy to announce that my wife and I are expecting a daughter early next year. So I will soon be on the set. I'll have an episode where I'm like, how did you do it, man? How'd you play games as a dad?
And I can be like the over it, like, fucking smarmy guy who could offer you advice but doesn't.
John, it's called taking really long shits, okay?
With the door open. Get used to that.
So there was that, and also we got ourselves into a bit of a house rental snafu over the last month or so, which is why I've needed a bit of a break just to kind of get everything sorted.
And also, like, everyone's jobs are like 10 to 50% more chaotic.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Or 10 to 50% non-existent.
True.
Depending on which one you're talking to.
Exactly. And then you're struggling even harder to, like, I can't record. I'm up to my neck in anxiety right now. But yeah, it's been an odd month or so, with some amazing news, some terrible news, and as you say, work has been nuts for the last while, but we are in a room together.
Yeah,
this is the best.
And there's no discs spinning around killing us. I think this is a podcast that, like, even though we could have like a very, you know, a year long, hiatus, but I'll never let you or myself quit doing this.
Oh, no, of course not.
It's like, we're friends. We may as well, like, record a conversation every now and then about the thing we spend the most of our time doing.
Look, purely thinking the bottom line, this is a tax write-off for me. Every indie game I buy is you know, it's research that I claim on tax.
Perfect.
Levins, we need to record, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
June 30th is approaching.
I got kids.
Literally a fresh one at this point in time. So it's been, God, like a month and a bit now. Plenty of time for us to have played some titles.
Plenty of time for both of us to have definitely finished Hades. Neither of us has, right?
No.
you hadn't told me.
Have you made it? Oh, believe me, I've wanted to send that message, but Yeah, have you made it up to that final boss battle?
No, I haven't gotten past the third level of the past the centaur and the other dude.
Right, right.
So I'd been playing it like nonstop when we last recorded, and then I've finished my third book. So I just I was like, no, you can't play video games for a while. And I banned myself successfully for the first time in my life ever.
For how long?
Like a fortnight.
Oh, I went one day without playing games over the last month and a half, and I was like, oh, I feel bad now.
Yeah, so I just didn't let myself play any games, and then I got back to it. I was like, hell yeah, I can't wait to play some Hades. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's right, you die heaps in this game.
Yeah.
And I still am I played as recently as Saturday for one or two runs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, both of the times I got up to that same fight and ate shit in both of those fights. So
yeah, right.
Have you beaten that boss yet?
Oh, the centaur and the guy. Yeah. I have.
Centaur and the guy.
Yeah. And it's a minotaur. It's a minotaur and guy. Minotaur, yeah. I've finished that boss fight. I've made it through to the final battle of the game. And that
Which is against Bowser.
Yeah. And the princess is in another hell.
Yeah.
And that is just, that's an absolute doozy of a boss battle. Because it's double You whittle his health bar way down, yeah, and then boop, goes all the way back. Yeah. I'm like, oh, let me out of this.
But with the centaur, the minotaur one, I can't even make a dent in I see them go down by maybe a quarter.
Yeah, that's also a really brutal boss battle because you're juggling two bosses at once essentially.
A lot of people in the HeyFam Discord have finished it. I should ask them. Is there a thing called God mode or something? Is that to make it easier?
I've never run into that. Maybe it's something
I think
that
there's a difficulty mode that I think a lot of people have turned on. I'm not accusing my listeners of that other podcast, but I know some people have just gone in on God mode, and that's why they're like, the story's so good. I'm right. What story?
Yeah. I've not run into it. I've not. I mean, look, I made it up to. Hey, I made it up to the final boss a couple of times. I'm desperately trying.
Dr. Eggman. Obviously, the final boss is Hades.
Yeah, I'm trying, man. But then I hit a point where I was like, I want to play some other games. I've put a lot of time into Hades right now. I want to play some other stuff. And then everything that happened. And I kind of, sort of was like, I'll take a breather from this.
Yep.
Moved on to something else.
So the reason that I was able to be so disciplined and stop myself from playing video games is that I've currently entered one of the greatest weeks of my life where I have two pressing deadlines.
Okay.
And
You just go from no pressing deadlines to two pressing deadlines?
What do you mean?
Well, you just said I have two pressing.
No, deadlines. No, I said no. I have no pressing deadlines.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah. I'm not being chased for anything at the moment. Sure. And the Xbox Series S came out yesterday,
yes.
And X obviously, but I got the S, so I am now for the first time in my life an Xbox boy.
Nice.
I got this awesome deal with my phone company where it's $33 a month to get the console, and it's called Xbox Gold Live? Ultimate or something like that,
yeah,
which comes
Gold,
with Game
sure.
Pass,
yeah,
and a bunch of other stuff, EA, all the EA games, so many games on Game Pass. Game Pass is unbelievable.
I'm glad you've finally seen it for yourself.
I always knew it was sick, but just having it and then seeing the amount of games, Spiritfarer, for example,
yeah,
a $45 game that I didn't want to buy on Switch because that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
when you are trying to play heaps of games, I was like, oh, I do want to play it, but so Spiritfarer is on there. A game Dragon Quest XI,
mm-hmm,
is coming out to Game Pass in a week and a half or something like that. That would have, if I played it on Switch, that would have cost me $90.
Yeah,
but there it is on that. I just went ape shit. I got so many games. All of our Devolver favorites are on there. A recent game that came out through Humble Bundle, Eichenfell, is on there.
Okay.
There's just so many goddamn good indie games and other games,
yeah,
on Game Pass. It's a tremendous service. The Xbox Series S is beautiful. I think it's maybe the prettiest console I've ever owned.
Yeah.
It's it's a white box with the black kind of waffle vent.
Yep.
I love it. I think the Series X is a disgusting chode. It's right. So big.
Oh, yeah. The fridge, essentially.
It's just too big. I don't like it.
No, that's...
I've seen it on people's entertainment shelves, and it looks like when people buy and start making their own synths.
Okay.
It looks like a significant piece of hardware for an instrument or whatever.
It looks like something that
an amp. Yeah.
Looks like something from Space Odyssey of 2001.
Like, sure, you put that in one blinking red light, and
yeah, you put that in your entertainment unit, and then a monkey shows up and throws a bone at it or something like that.
But yeah, I've obviously never been part of the Xbox ecosystem. You've been since the 360 or earlier?
360. Yeah.
I always associated you with being an Xbox guy, and like, you know, whenever something was, you know, really good, you would have you'll tell me about them. You know,
oh yeah, I mean? Yeah, definitely. But it was always difficult. It's been difficult over the years, like as PlayStation has gone from this, like, you know, mega hit to mega hit, like God of War and yes. Last of Us and Spider-Man, to occasionally pop up and be like, "Oh, this Xbox game's pretty good, guys." Shut up, we're talking about Last of Us. Yeah. Okay.
So I did mention that this is the best week ever because PS5 comes out tomorrow. I'm picking it up at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, damn.
So I'm getting two brand new consoles this week. And it feels so unnecessary and so ridiculous, especially this year. But I was able to like organize pretty okay deals for both of them that like, I can make work.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I think the PlayStation lineup as like a launch lineup is like one of the strongest lineups. I mean, there is a dampener in that like a lot of the big, I mean, and obviously none of them are indie games, but all of the big launch titles on PlayStation, the majority of them are available on PS4 as well.
Okay.
But I mean, I think, you know, they're obviously going to play like with no loading times. That's the thing. Like I'm playing Yakuza 7 on Xbox Series S. There's, you know, how, like games will like, you know, you get used to that. Like, oh, it's going to show me like one of 60 tips sure. for the game while it loads. And maybe you can cycle through like up to 10 or 20 of them.
Yeah.
It will, a tip will flash on the screen for less than a second, like a split second. But you know, like, you should eat in this game. and then suddenly you're loaded into the net.
Yeah. Right. God damn.
It's crazy. And this is like the significantly less powerful one. I got it because I love the idea of having access to all the Game Pass games.
Of course.
Sure. And there's a brilliant amount of indies. I also, God, the Xbox app is so good.
Yeah.
What a great ecosystem. Like because the PlayStation app fucking chokes on shits.
But, that was Joe, my wife was like, "Oh, should we flip to PlayStation?" And I was like, "You can barely use the Xbox. You will not know anything to do in PlayStation." Like every time I've used a PlayStation, the UI, I'm like, "What is going on?"
Well, here? I think the UI on the actual console itself is fine. I guess maybe because I'm used to it. But sure. Yeah, their phone app, for example, they've simplified it recently. But the Xbox phone app, so good.
Yeah.
So now I can access my entire library, and if I want to make room on my Xbox, which is, you know, currently in rest mode or whatever, mm-hmm. I can delete games from my phone. That's so cool.
Yeah, you can manage the whole thing.
So I've the indie games that I've downloaded so far on Game Pass are Scourgebringer.
Okay.
There's a lot of rare replay games here now. Big chunk. Gorna 2.
Right, sure, sure.
Kato.
Yes, Kato just came out. I really want to get into that one.
Unravel 2. I never played the sequel to that. Spiritfarer. Okay, yeah. And I've been playing about 2 hours into Ori, Will and the Wisps now.
Hell yes.
God, it is good. It is so good playing it.
And it's such a, like, it's a step up from the previous
so
game.
Much. And also, like, I love that, like, they're kind of like, well, you know, Hollow Knight may have borrowed a lot of things from the first Ori game. Let's just give Ori a sword, yeah, like Hollow Knight.
He gets a sword now. Do it. Yeah. I saw that and was like, okay. Let's give him a gun next.
Just hacking shit up as Ori. It rules.
Yeah.
That game is beautiful.
Oh, it's stunning.
Is it Moon Games who make that
game? Yeah, Moon Studios.
Moon Studios, yeah. It's a killer game. I really want to try and finish it for it so it can be in the runnings for my game of the year.
Nice.
My goatee. So yeah, I've spent the most of the last day playing Xbox games, and I've been playing a lot of games on my PlayStation as well, and very excited about PS5 coming out. Most excited about Astro Base,
mm-hmm.
Astrobot game that's built in. I love a pack-in game.
Yeah.
Alex Kidd in Miracle World.
Sure. That's on the PS5?
On the Master System. Brilliant. You know, you just close the lid of certain,
oh, yeah, of course.
Certain Master Systems and it would play Alex Kidd.
You turn
fucking
it on
sick.
Without a cartridge on. And
yeah. Yeah. You got 3 minutes? The swimming bit's the best part.
Levins, we'll have to pay for that, okay?
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- boom, 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 boom. That's so good. Great theme song. Hopefully Astrobot has music as good as Alex Kidd in Miracle World. But yeah, even though I'm excited to play another Spider-Man game again, Astrobot is where I'm at for the game. I can't wait to. Apparently that shows off the new DualSense controller.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very happy I got the Xbox first for 2 days, so I can be like, wow, Xbox is great. Before PS5 was like, oh my God. But man.
And look, every time you go to buy a game, you'll be like, God damn, Xbox is so good.
So when I go pick up my PS5 tomorrow, I think I might have to spend even more money because my Nintendo Switch has become borderline unplayable.
Really?
When it is undocked. The drifting is so fucking bad.
Oh God.
And we are talking about a bunch of games this week that like Disc Room, for example, is like you if it nudges you in the wrong direction because like I mean, do you have drift in your Joy-Con?
I had drift. I think for my last birthday, my wife bought me a new pair of Joy-Cons because I had bonkers drift.
Probably. How are they going?
Yeah, they're fine so far.
Should I get new Joy-Cons or should I buy like a can of air or whatever? And
what was blast there was, out there was the... one particular game. Ape Out is what killed my Joy-Cons. That's right.
Oh, so just while we're on that, I have gone back and tried to beat that level that you mentioned.
And?
It's very difficult.
Oh my God, it's so hard. I've come so close.
I haven't even gotten to the baby yet. So,
really? Yeah, yeah. I've made it almost out of the final corridor to exit the building and then bam, someone shot me. It's so frustrating.
But yeah, I'm going from like, I play a lot. I played all of Mario Galaxy with Archie docked.
Okay.
With a pro controller and that rocked. So good playing that again. And he and I have played a few other games docked and then playing like Xbox and PlayStation and like being like, yeah, hell yeah. Absolutely no problems with these controls. And then as soon as I pick up a Switch game and play it undocked, it just fucking eats shit. Like that oof. The drifting is like just so like, yeah, it either causes me to die or it causes me to be so frustrated that I don't take the game seriously anymore.
Yeah, of course.
So a lot of games I've played, I have not finished any Switch games in the last little while because I just get so frustrated playing it when it's undocked.
Right.
And as we all know from listening to many episodes of this, I prefer to play my Switch undocked. And,
of course,
it has forced my hand, John. So I don't know. I guess I should send them away to get fixed or try. I don't know. I've tried putting alcohol.
Right, sure. I mean, there's like a jillion videos on like how to fix your Switch drift.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, you're going to do this repeatedly.
It's one of those ones where it's like, here are six incredibly specialized tools that you'll need to order from overseas to do blah, blah, blah.
It used to be like noticeable, but not like annoying. It would just be like every now and then, like Link would just walk in the opposite direction or whatever.
Sure.
And now it's like every minute it kicks in. And especially like, so I was playing Eichenfell, which is like a, you know, an RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And it will just like between menu selections.
Oh, yeah, that's brutal.
And then,
brutal.
Yeah, like Disc Room, I died so many times because it just decided to like walk me in the other direction.
Sure. Directly into a disc.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of discs in Disc Room.
Yeah.
Should we talk about Disc Room?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about Terry Pratchett's Disc Room.
Devolver's latest game is by a bunch of developers who we've talked about many times on the podcast.
Yeah. It's almost like a super group of indie developers, essentially. Like one of them, I know one of them is formerly of Vlambeer.
Yes, it's Jan Willem, Mr. Vlambeer. But he is also one of the makers of Minit.
Yes, of course.
Alongside Kitty Callis, who is another maker of Disc Room.
Yep.
Jan Willem Nijman. Then we have Terry Velman, who I'm not familiar with, but Dose One, who I am very familiar with.
Incredibly.
As a musical artist. I grew up as a teen. I guess at the point where I met John, I was extremely into a alternative hip hop collective called Anticon.
Yeah.
And Dose One was a member of that group. And his group themselves was a 13 and God were two groups that I listened to a lot of.
It was one of those collectives where it's like
Deep Puddle Dynamics,
six different bands with four members, but each in different configurations essentially. And he also recorded solo as well and produced beats for rappers and stuff like that.
But yeah, so he made the music for Disc Room, or did he also develop this game?
I think it might have been just the music.
And he's also one of the devs behind another game we're about to talk about, Sludge Life.
Sludge Life, as is Terry Velman. Terry Velman worked on Sludge Life
as well.
Oh,
right, cool.
Yeah,
okay,
so that's,
sure.
That's what I'm saying. It's this weird, like, conglomeration.
Feels like Anticon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is, Devolver is now the Anticon of games.
Yeah, perfect. But Disc Room is a game where you play a dude who enters a room with many discs spinning around in it, and it's your job to survive in this room as long as possible. If you survive longer than 10 seconds, you unlock the next disc room, which also has many discs swirling around in it, but each disc room is full of different varieties of disc, some big, some small, some fast, some slow, but all deadly.
Yes. When we, by the way, when we say discs, don't think of like a CD. We're talking like a saw blade. Like they're very yes. clearly deadly.
Blade Room.
Yes.
Sounds like a sequel to Blade. Blade Room. But we played this game earlier this year when we did a
we went to the preview Devolver, event, the showcase they did,
Devolver
in
showcase in Sydney, and it was by far my highlight of the games that we got to play that day.
Yeah,
which also included Sludge Life,
and Carrion.
Carrion, yep.
And there was one other one, but it's
oh, it was Enter the Gungeon.
Enter the Gungeon.
Exit the Gungeon.
Exit. Yeah. So yeah. that's one that
we already had
been out on like Apple Arcade and other consoles by that time.
But yeah, Disc Room, and I remember like loving it instantly and being like, you have to finish this, and not letting you get up from your seat until you also finished it.
Yeah.
And you're looking at me like, I can't finish it, man. I'm like, yes, you can. Finish it.
There's too many discs, Levins. Look, I bought it yesterday, dived in this morning. And I've already unlocked like three of the abilities you can unlock, and
yep,
a bunch awesome. Of the rooms, and it's really fun. I think I love that it is one of those games that encourages you to die.
Yes,
like the fact that you can like one of to unlock rooms. There are a variety of things you like to unlock a new room. You might need to survive in an area for 10 seconds. Or you might need to survive over an entire zone for a cumulative amount of 60 seconds. Or you might need to have died by a certain number of different discs.
Yes.
So it's one of those things, like there was one, it's early on, but like these giant discs spinning around the room. And if you survive 20 seconds, a golden disc shows up. And so immediately I was like, okay, well, this means I need to survive for 20 seconds and then dodge all these other discs
to
get to the golden
disc
and let that one. Yeah. Yep. That was a nail biter, that one. But,
there's a lot of those. So
yeah,
get used to that.
And they're peppering in some really interesting mechanics from what I've seen so far. So I'm up to the section of rooms where time only passes when you're standing in the circle of the center of the room.
I love that. What a great little twist on the kind of like the game.
The gatekeeper one for that was a bitch. Like,
yep.
It's you need to survive. It counts down from 20 seconds, and I died so many times trying to get to those 20 seconds.
It's so much fun though. Like
yeah.
it is a great pick up and play for like that limited window of time. If you know, if you are trying to write a book and maybe like, okay, 3 minutes of gaming today, it'll be a very fun remix.
I wrote a verb. I get 5 minutes of games.
It'll be very fun 3 minutes playing Disc Room. I have come close to finishing this, but I can't beat the last gatekeeper.
Right.
Because there's a glitch and I get an error message and then the game quits.
Oh,
and a few people have encountered this and apparently that it's being patched, but at the moment,
right.
Yeah, I can't play it, which is sucks because I probably would have finished it.
That's
I totally
brutal.
Would have finished it. I'm the best at games. I would have finished it.
I'm very intrigued by the story that's developing because you say at the beginning, it's a guy in a room. It's like a giant disc has shown up to Earth and scientists are sent there to figure out what is this thing and, you know, study and explore it. And so the guy you're playing is a scientist who, have you read the descriptions of the discs?
A little bit.
As you die to each of the discs, it gets added to like a compendium of discs. But the descriptions are not about the discs.
That's like John's like immediate thing when you start a game. It's
yeah.
Is there a compendium?
You got a compendium in this? I'm into it. But the entries are like, they're not describing the discs. They're like, why am I being kept alive by this place? What is going on? Like, it seems to want me to die. Like, it's almost like a journal keeping his thoughts rather than like, this is actual study of the discs kind of thing. But, so I'm very intrigued by the story. I love the fact that it is so instantaneous to restart. It's like Super Meat Boy
so
or things like that.
So important to this
that.
Kind of game. Celeste or
Yeah, exactly. So it's just bang, you're right at the beginning. You start again. This is one that I think I probably won't be able to do long periods of playing it, but I think it's something where it's like, cool, I'll play some Disc Room for the next 10 minutes. Or I'm on a bus ride or a train ride.
I sat down and smashed out the most of the game the other day. It was very fun.
How long would you say it is?
I haven't finished yet, so I'm not sure, but I assume it's around the kind of 3-4 hour mark.
So about 8 to 9 for me. But yeah, highly recommend Disc Room. It's on Switch. It's on
PC.
That's it for the moment.
I think so.
I feel like that's it for the moment. Yeah.
Probably on Game Pass 6 months from now.
So speaking of Disc Room, that is a great segue because, as we mentioned earlier, Dose One and Terry Vellum both worked on Sludge Life,
which was also published by Devolver.
Also a Devolver game.
And previewed by us in March.
Yeah. And I think while Disc Room was your favorite at that showcase event, Sludge Life was my favorite. And I think it speaks a lot to kind of our gaming history and stuff that you went for the very kind of fast twitch game.
Arcadey
kind of game. Yep. And I had the like, oh, it's a first person exploration game essentially.
Yep.
So in Sludge Life, you play a graffiti artist called Ghost who essentially you want to be the king of the city. So you need to go around this weird city that's sitting in an ocean of sludge produced by a corporation that's just pouring pollution out. Essentially like jumping and exploring and finding all these places where you can tag. And the more tags you get up, you get the attention of other graffiti artists and they'll like collab with you on various pieces. It's very light on story. There's no real story to speak of. It's just about...
Oh, right. See, I thought this would be a very story-based game.
No. Yeah, right. It's just... You come across these little vignettes of, like, action happening in the world and that kind of thing. But there's no real... The only thing driving you forward is keep finding graffiti spots.
Right.
It's this incredibly strange world that's full of, like... Sort of dumb. Some of it's really dumb humor. Some of it's really absurd, really strange. It was always fun to like, oh, there's a new person. I have to go talk to them. Essentially, I want to find out what they're going to say. You can press a button and start smoking, which oddly enough makes it kind of the same as Friends of Ringo Ishikawa.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
and Arrest of a Stone Buddha, I believe. There's a button you can push to fart. Like that's the kind of level we're dealing with.
Great.
It very much feels like something that that our a mutual friend of ours, Jed, would be really into.
Okay, sure.
I think he'd really enjoy it.
It's a Jed game, everyone. Mark it down. It's a Jed game.
It's rated J for Jed. So I actually like I got it. It's for free on the Epic Store at the moment. It's free till like next year sometime.
Oh, cool.
And was like, cool, let's dive in. And I just, it was my game from start to finish. Like whenever I was at home, I was playing Sludge Life. You pick up all these cool tools that help you explore. Like you pick up a glider, you can pick up a teleporter where you like drop it somewhere, go wherever you want, and then hit the teleport button, arrive back where you are. And that's used to like solve some puzzles while exploring. So there's some elements of like, oh, cool, I managed to achieve that. It has 3 separate endings.
Cool. Are there like gameplay mechanics in it, or is it just exploration?
It's mainly exploration. Like it's kind of like
experimentation, or like
to an extent. Yeah, there's a bit of you'll see, because wherever you can spray up your tag, there'll be a little like floating spray can icon, and sometimes you'll see one and be like, how the hell am I supposed to get there? And then it gets a little easier. Like at one point you pick up the eye, like a jar containing the eyes of the king of graffiti in town. And so whenever you pull that out, it'll point to like what's the nearest tag you can use. So towards the end of the game, when I was at like 85-90 tags and running out of places where I was thinking, it was a lot of like, okay, the eyes are pointing that way, go that way a bit. Okay, the eyes are pointing this way now, like triangulating and finding that kind of stuff. And then seeing that it's like, oh, the next one's at the top of a huge crane. Okay, how can I climb this crane? Like trying to look around.
Fun.
So it was really rewarding and entertaining in that kind of sense. I think this is definitely somewhere on my game of the year list, which, you know, that's going to be fun to put together this year.
It
is, I think.
Yeah. It's going to be strange.
It's been an odd year.
There's no like top three that immediately jumps out to me. I'm going to have to be like, oh, I guess that was my favorite game of the year. I think is going to.
I mean, Hades seems like a front runner, but just because it's such a perfect version of what it is.
Yeah. No. Definitely.
But 2 and 3, I'm like, what the hell are 2 and 3?
Hades. Is awesome and so great, but I don't want to put it number one because I haven't beat it yet. Because I'm just like, fuck you,
right?
Hades.
Okay.
Be slightly easier, but also I don't want to do the easy mode.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll tell you what was hard. Going from Hades, which is a very, very good, what would you call it? What's it? A roguelite or roguelike? I can't remember.
Roguelite.
To another roguelite,
yes.
Which is also very good, but... the best thing about Hades for me is how tight the controls are.
Mm.
It's such an excellent like hack and slash like action game.
Yeah.
Going Under is a game that was published last month by Team 17, developed by Agro Crab Games.
Hey. Yeah.
And
great name.
It is such a well written, like beautifully designed, crazy concept roguelite. In this game, you have been hired by a new startup, and you know it's just like there's just constant parodies of Silicon Valley startup culture.
Yeah,
you're not really sure what the company does. It could do any number of bizarre, like you know.
I think it makes flavored waters or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah
really
that's
weird
right.
flavored
right, yeah,
waters.
Yeah. That's right. So you are aware, but the. Your job that you're given has nothing to do with the product that the company makes. You're essentially sent to go under the company and kill all the monsters that live beneath the company.
But the monsters themselves have created a startup?
Yes.
Yeah. So you are responsible of shutting down this startup essentially.
And so you fight them with any object you can get your hands on beneath the office. And
yes.
So there will be like office equipment or like bottles or the weapons that the enemies are holding. Once you beat them, you can pick up their weapons.
Yeah.
And there are like weird little perks that you can pick up along the way. It is so much fun and so good, but the combat is very floaty.
Yeah.
And imprecise, like the opposite of how it feels to play Hades. So in spite of how much I loved the world, it was like just very jarring going from Hades to Going Under's combat.
It was also like that. That was my issue because I've played some Going Under, and I played it almost directly after I played Hades. And my big problem was, I've gone from because I agree with everything you've said. The world is fascinating. The dialogue is really funny, particularly if you work in an office. I think it's one of those things where you're like, haha, I know someone like that kind of thing. The concept is great. The art's great, etc. It was just the actual point of the gameplay, which is the combat and destroying these things. I never felt like, oh, I'm going to walk in this room and totally monster it. It's going to be great. I was always just like, I'd go in with full health and leave with half health.
Oh, okay, right.
Just because it'd be like, dodge. I said, dodge, damn it. I've been hit kind of thing.
Yep.
And it also, I mean... particularly coming off Hades where you're playing with the same weapon the entire way through. The fact that, I mean, there are pros and cons to it. The weapons in this, the more you use them, they degrade. They eventually are destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to kind of look around and find good weapons as quickly as... Like, I made it to the boss level of the first startup you try to shut down, immediately had all my good weapons shattered, and then it's just like I'm using a pencil to stab one point of health off this boss at a time. this is a nightmare, guys.
There's nothing you could go to picked up?
Eventually there is, but it's nothing strong, that like no strong weapons that I'm like, hell yeah, I can take this boss down now.
Yeah, see, I think I can see, whereas Hades, like, you're not so much, you are getting good at the game, but you are very reliant on the crazy perks you pick up. This one, I think you just have to get good at the combat in the game.
But it's one of those things where, like you say, it's so floaty.
Yeah.
That it's tough to get button timings down properly.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that for sure. Yeah. I really like it. I want to give it more time, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to. This year, the end of the year, game of all game, game of month. Happy game of month, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that I'll probably dive back in. Like, it's on my pile now.
Visually, it reminds me of Donut County a lot.
Yeah, it's a very sort of, like, cartoonish, like...
Goose Game, Donut
County. Bright kind of, like, block...
Shapes.
Yeah, block shapes sort of thing. I mean, you do... There is... You pick up perks as you go through the levels as well. And similar to... You can actually get employees of the company to be your kind of, like... How to put this, like, mentors. That's right. That's the language they use. You can pick them as if you perform a task for them during a run, you can unlock them as mentors, and you'll get, like, because I think the first guy I got was the in company barista.
Yeah,
and his thing was whenever I found a shop in the dungeon, I could get him to, like, steal one object for me for free,
mm-hmm.
which is a cool little perk. And you know, all the employees have different perks, so there's a lot of systems there to change how you, like, what your experience of the game is like, but it boils down to dodge when I press the dodge button, lady.
Yeah, sure.
Just do it. Cool, so that's Going Under.
Yep, which I'm not sure, what is it available on? I think it might be only Switch and PC again.
Yeah. Sludge Life is apparently available on Switch, but God knows I haven't seen it.
I don't think it's on Switch yet.
Right.
It's on everything. Switch, PS4, Xbox One, Windows. Going Under.
Hell yeah.
From Team 17, who would do a lot of good games.
Yeah.
So you've played a game that you've told me there's a story behind.
Yes. So with all the difficulty with the rental stuff I've had over the last month, there were definitely, like, when we... Essentially, what happened is we rented a house that was too small for us in a suburb in Sydney.
You guys grew after signing the lease. You grew,
yeah, indeed. But the first, so like we went through a brutal move. Like, moving sucks.
The worst.
Like, it's I understand why people take on $1 million mortgages now, because it means you don't have to move your shit for 30 years, and that's great. So we just finished a move, and it was a move that didn't even have the nice end point of, oh, we get to set up a house, a home now, and get comfortable in that. It was, we are leaving our shit in boxes. We are moving again as soon as possible. Don't bother unpacking. Let's just get things set up. And we didn't have internet at this house or anything like that. And I was like, the game I was playing at that time was SnowRunner. I was really into SnowRunner, but I just had a night where I'm like, I'm too anxious. I'm too, like, you know,
too anxious to run snow.
The future's too cloudy for me to push my big trucks around. And so I had a day off gaming.
Those games are on Game Pass, by the way.
A SnowRunner.
MudRunner is.
MudRunner, yeah. MudRunner pales in comparison to SnowRunner. SnowRunner is the shit. So I had a night off gaming, and then the next day I was like, I want to play something, but I don't want to play SnowRunner at the moment. What do I want to play? And I had The Long Dark on my Switch. I had a few other games that I'd bought that I'd never played before. Long Dark I had played ages ago on my laptop. And I looked at Long Dark and I went, you know what? I just want something familiar right now. I just want to play something I've played before. There's new stuff to it. They've reworked some of it, and there's a new episode they've added that I have yet to see. This is it. And so I just dived into The Long Dark.
Which is a survival game, right?
It's a first-person survival game. It's very slow. It's very measured. It's not like collect as many tree trunks as you can and build a cabin. It is like you have just found a backpack in the snow and it has a chocolate bar in it. Yay! because it means you get to like get your calories up, and that'll help you get to the next place you need to go. Like it's a game that's very much steeped in inventory management and maintaining, like, you've got thirst, hunger, tiredness. And,
so 11's nightmare game.
Oh yeah. This is absolutely not something you would ever want to touch. And I think it's on Game Pass. So
get it away from me.
Contractually, you have to throwing play the long out my dog. Xbox. And it was just, it was such a, like, because I'd played it before, it was that beautifully familiar feeling of like, okay, I know what the story beats are, but it was also getting to see like, oh, this is how they've reworked it. They've really edited that first episode to make it more streamlined of how you get into the game. They've like, you know, removed certain story elements, added other story elements. That's the thing. From that moment on, I've been playing The Long Dark since. Like, even before that, when I was at home, I'd be playing something on my PC, Switch was for out of the house. Since then, yeah, it's just been Switch the whole way through.
Long Dark.
Just because I'm like, I just want to get to the end of episode 3, then I can put it down because 4 and 5 aren't out yet and move on to something else. But I just, this is like, taken me.
So are you into episode 3?
I've just made it into episode 3, which exciting. Is cool. I keep working my way through.
Is it
through.
New to you now?
All the stuff I'm playing now is I've not seen before, so it's all new to me. But it's one of those things where it's like Yuppie Psycho by the guy that made Count Lucanor out, and I've been wanting to play that for ages, and I bought it, but it's just been sitting on my Switch because I'm like, I've got to find a jar of peanut butter in the snow and then grab some sticks and stuff like that. It's definitely, I mean, it's in the sort of same campus SnowRunner of like, it's just there's something beautiful about games that involve trudging rather than like quick movement and glamorous action. It's like, no, this is a slow and steady thing.
Yeah, I can't. That's not why I play games.
Oh, like, of course not.
My brain is just like, don't do this.
Yeah.
This is what books are for.
Go do taxes instead. Yeah. That's far more interesting. But yeah, I'm really enjoying The Long Dark, even though it was born out of like, and look, I like, full disclaimer, the thing we went through wasn't that horrible. We still had a roof over our heads.
No,
like,
it sucks.
Everything was fine.
Moving twice is just horrible no matter who you are. Yeah, it sucks.
But I really, like, it was really cool to come back to this game that I knew had been improved and have another run at it and be like, ah, the beauty of playing something familiar combined with, like, oh, there's new elements that I haven't seen before.
It's a different brand of peanut butter in the snow.
Yeah, it's more calories.
It's a crunchy. The last one was smooth.
So that was developed by Hinterland Studio, and it's on Xbox One, Microsoft Windows, Linux, and classic Mac OS, according to Google.
And Switch.
I don't know. Oh, of course, and Switch. Update your Google, guys.
But did you play it on Switch?
Yes, I've been playing it on Switch. And that's one of the great things as well is like, As I was going back to work and stuff, like, oh, I've got this thing to play at lunchtime, et cetera, et cetera.
Fun.
But awesome. Yeah, Long Dark, real fun. Well, so, real fun if you're me.
So the final game we talk about today is Iconfell.
Yeah.
Which is the latest game from Humble Studios, who have given us many All the Small Games favorites, like Slay the Spire and Wondersong.
Okay.
And this Iconfell is much closer to Wondersong than it is Slay the Spire. It's an RPG in which you play as a girl who is going to visit her sister at a school for people who can practice magic.
Nice.
And the opening chapter is really great. You're basically like wandering through the woods and suddenly magic trees start popping up behind you and blocking your way back. And you're like, oh, that's crazy. I must be close to Iconfell now. Iconfell is the name of this school.
Sure.
Where your sister is. And
sounds way cooler than Hogwarts.
You are just you're a regular muggle. You're a girl. You look like Maddie from Celeste. You have bright red hair and you're pixelated.
Nice.
As you light a fire to spend the night, three ghosts approach you and fight you because no mere mortal may ever gaze upon Iconfell.
Ooh.
And so they fight you, and it's one of those, you know, classic RPG first battles that you can't win.
Right.
And so
when
they knock you to the ground, suddenly with zero health, you explode into the air, and you now have the powers of one of the most powerful witches that the ghosts have ever seen.
Oh, wow.
And they invite you to kick their ass with your newfound powers, and you do. And then they're like, wow, you're the best. You can totally go through on you go to Eichenfell.
Okay.
And it's a really, really awesome first chapter. Super fun. It's, turn-based combat, but you also has a little bit of, like, tactics involved in that you're kind of, you're moving yourself around the screen to a spot right. first and then making your attack. Yeah, now I'm like exploring the grounds and getting into battles with rocks and other weird things in the environment.
It's not even a live rock. You just like, screw you, yeah. just punch on.
Just punching rocks.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say to absolutely sell people on this game is save points are cats. You pet a cat, you save the game, you replenish your health.
Hell yeah.
So
okay.
They know the market. They know that they're appealing to, what humble do Night in the Woods as well?
No, Night in the Woods. Now you've piqued my interest. Who did Night in the Woods?
Wandersong was this beautiful, sweet narrative for sensitive souls, and I think this definitely fits in that same bracket.
Yeah, Finji published.
Yeah,
Developed by Infinite Fall. While we're here,
cool. There you go. But yeah, if you loved Wandersong and you're looking for a game that captures that same kind of like humorous dialogue, like, you know, very sweet story and fun like gameplay. Apparently there's even a mode you can put on where you just instantly win all battles.
Oh, right.
We should say actually accessibility has played a large part in a lot of the games we've talked about today, particularly Disc Room.
Yeah.
I've not fooled around with it at all, but you can make that game very easy if you want to just play it and enjoy it as less of a teeth grinding challenge.
Sure.
Accessibility options are excellent. It sounds like Hades and Going Under might have good accessibility stuff too, but this Eichenfell does as well.
Oh, nice.
If you like playing games just to have fun without the challenge,
or if
it's there for you.
If you have some difficulties with playing games in the standard way,
definitely.
It's not just for those who are like, difficulty.
Eichenfell, it's a really cute game. It's on Switch and it's also on Game Pass, so I could play it twice if I wanted to.
What have you been playing it on?
Switch.
Okay, right.
So every now and then the main character will just walk up.
That's why you keep picking fights with rocks.
Yeah, exactly.
Not meant to go that way, but you kicked it.
Yeah. But no, it's cool. I mean, Humble is a studio like Devolver, like Team 17, that I'll always check out their releases, and I'm very rarely disappointed.
Yeah, I think I've said it on an episode before, but I still think it's cool that what started as essentially a charitable endeavor,
yes,
has grown to encompass, like, they publish their own games now.
Yes, definitely.
Which means Humble Bundle will eventually be able to do a Humble Bundle.
Perfect.
I look forward to the day.
That is it for our reviews of games we've played.
Yeah.
We apologize for it being so long between episodes, but we see how full the inbox is, and we will answer these emails at some point in the future.
Yes.
I want to go out with one because I really like this question.
Do it.
Tyler, who is a longtime listener of All the Small Games, has sent us an email. He's writing in today to recommend a game to us and the listeners that he's been playing and loving. It's called Paradise Killer. In Paradise Killer, you play as Lady Love Dies, an investigation freak who has spent 3 million days in exile until she is suddenly called back to Paradise Island to investigate a brutal murder of the island's ruling council. A suspect is in custody and all signs point to their guilt, but perhaps a little too cleanly. What follows is a 3D open-world investigative journey where you question a colorful and sexy cast of characters, scour the island for evidence and secrets, pursue leads, and build your own case against the guilty party or parties. The game has a bit of a Breath of the Wild feel, like jumping off the Great Plateau. You are free to approach your investigation from any angle, gather or not evidence in any order, and you are free to tackle the endgame, presenting your accusation and case to the judge at any point in time. Character work is very strong. Everyone has a compelling backstory and potential motive if you take the time to learn it. And the crime itself is multi-layered and fascinating. Discovering evidence or connecting the odd dots between testimony, both true and false, feels very rewarding. The game has some minor issues, a bad map, repetitive recorded dialogue, which can be turned off, and somewhat stiff controls, but on the whole, it is excellent. Particular shout out to how well the game tracks your leads and evidence. The game would be a good fit for anyone who loves stuff like Ace Attorney, Obradin, Hypnospace Outlaw, etc. Yeah. So if you enjoy your experiences as a judge and or lawyer / whatever you are in all these games.
Sure. Investigator.
Maybe give this one a shot. It's called Paradise Killer. Definitely one that has been on my radar, but I never got around to playing.
Consider my interest incredibly piqued.
Mm.
I like the sound of that. I liked Obra Dinn. I liked Hypnospace Outlaw.
Yeah. Have you ever played an Ace Attorney game?
No.
They're great.
Yeah?
Yeah, you don't play enough Japanese games. I've always said that about you.
I don't.
So the second part of Tyler's email is the question. I also have a question for you. This year, I have been deliberately focused on finishing games rather than jumping between the newest thing. What games have you started and then stopped playing in 2020 that you want to get back to before the year is out? Hope you're well. Love from Canada, Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler.
That is a great question.
Hope you're well too.
Because this year, more than any other year, I have ditched so many games that I celebrated while I was playing them.
Definitely. I mean, look, Hades tops the list in terms of, you know, I want to beat my dad.
Beat that dad.
So Hades is definitely up there. I mean, there's little ones like I Am Dead from Annapurna, or published by Annapurna Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily challenging. It's just takes time. Like, it's another game. I don't know if you've seen anything about I Am Dead, but you play as a ghost, essentially.
Yeah, a lot of people recommended this one to me. Yeah.
I think
Annapurna put that one out. Yeah.
I think it's cute.
Did you just say that?
Huh?
Yeah, cool. Sorry, I was reading the games that I haven't finished yet.
Right. I mean, I want 100% SnowRunner. That's one of my goals.
I love that.
I love that game so much, dude. It's my favorite. Big trucks for life.
Maybe you should think about buying a truck. Raising your family on a truck.
That sounds great. What's on your list?
So the big ones, obviously Hades is something that I would like to finish before the year is over. But mm-hmm. there are two in particular games that I loved and said were fantastic because they were, but I never finished. One of them is called Phenotopia Awakening.
Yep.
Which was an awesome Metroidvania style game that I, got 6-7 hours into and then just stopped because other things came out and because my fucking Joy-Con kept pushing me in directions I didn't want to go in.
Sure.
Above all, is a game called, where the fuck are you? CrossCode.
Yes, of course.
I never finished CrossCode. I loved CrossCode. It's so good. I beat the first two big bosses. I think I'm maybe close to halfway finished a game. Another game with Metroidvania elements that could absolutely be in my top three, if not my favorite game of the year. Excellent dialogue, great combat and action in it. There's lots of games. I mean, like, at one point I thought I would finish Arrest of a Stone Border at some point this year, but have to let go of that one.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of games that came out in that Nintendo Direct, that awesome indie Direct.
Yeah.
Where we got the drop of like Hypnospace Outlaw.
That one was great.
The game that was developed in India.
Raji.
I've played half of that. I never finished it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that game is pretty good.
I'm looking back through some previous ones.
I finished Carrion. I finished Shovel Knight, King of Cards. I finished The Eternal Castle.
Yep, Eternal Castle. Finished A Short Hike. Spiritfarer I could probably go back on.
I want to at least start that game for sure.
Wasteland 3 finished. Hypnospace Outlaw finished.
I never finished Streets of Rage 4, but I didn't love that as much as everyone else did.
I did. I clocked that one. Hell yeah. Go John. just going back, top three. I mean, that's Carrion we finished. Count Lucanor, I finished. Almost Gone, finished. I've finished a bunch of stuff this year. Superliminal, finished.
I haven't finished that many games this year because of just how fucking insane this year is.
Oh, of course. Anything.
But I feel like even before lockdown, it took me like 2 months to finish a game in Kunai. That was the first game I finished this year.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, In Other Waters, finished.
Yeah, I'm keen to see if anything beats Kentucky Route Zero for you, for your game of the year this year.
I think... let's save that one.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a conversation game about a month down the road.
Hopefully, we get an episode in before we do our game of the years. But if not, that'll be an excellent afternoon. We should just recreate the magic of last year.
Yeah.
Get ice creams.
Call the home ice cream man and be like, "Can you drop by this house at this point?
Yeah, yeah.
Really lean on the bell, buddy. We want to hear that bell." Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
So thanks, Tyler, for the great question. There are a lot of games that we need to try and finish before the year is over. But also, fuck pressure. Just play games when you feel like playing.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't a job, even though I write shit up on tax. This is for fun.
Thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, allthesmallgames@gmail.com is our preferred choice of contact.
Yes.
But you can also find us on Twitter. Come on, please give us a follow. We are at allthesmallgame, or we are at facebook.com/allthesmallgames. John is on Twitter and Instagram at 16tacos, and I am at levdog, levdawg. And if you need more podcasts than me on them, one of them is called Hey Fam. It comes out twice a week. And then I have some other ones in the can. Serious Issues, The Mitchin, and various recent guest spots. I've been doing lots of podcasts lately.
Yeah, you have.
I was on Thumb Cramps. Look up Thumb Cramps. Comes out, I think, by the time I put this one up tomorrow. I'm talking about Disc Room. If you want me here to talk about Disc Room again, go listen to Thumb Cramps. Those are good boys.
Did they play Disc Room?
Joel did, yeah.
Yeah, what do you think?
Big Doucher. So Joel isn't the right word if you use that, because it could be two people.
Yeah, of course.
He loved it.
Oh, great.
Okay. He's a Devolver diehard like you and me. Yeah,
exactly. Also, I would highly recommend, if you have two ears, if you have a pair of ears and a heart, sign up to Levin's Patreon for all his mixtapes.
Thank you so much.
I was walking home yesterday pumping the Best of Switch one.
Ooh, yeah,
that's a good one for pace setting.
That's not Nintendo Switch. That is a club producer called Switch, who made many excellent like fidget house songs in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, even like MIA's Bamboo Banger.
He produced a lot of MIA stuff. Yeah. And yeah. Yeah, that was a very fun mix to make.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm currently working on a mix called 90s Dance Songs in 90 Minutes.
Nice.
Why did I decide this would be a thing that I would do? Because it is going to take me forever.
When you said 90s dance songs in 90 minutes, I thought you meant you were putting the mix together in 90 minutes. And I was like, how?
No.
You're going to die, Levin.
It's
going
to be 90 minutes long.
Of course. But yeah, I highly recommend. I'm a firm Patreon subscriber to
Thank
that
you
one.
So much.
And it's fantastic.
Patreon.com/levdog if you want to join the fray.
Also, if you are planning on moving, you can't go any better than the Cool Dad FM mixes. Oof.
I've just been sanctioned to make another one of those.
Oh my god!
Someone asked me to make a Cool Dad FM mix for their dad for Christmas.
Oh, that's great.
So everyone gets the beauty of that, because you can pay me to make a mix for you that everyone gets.
Oh, I was going to ask, are they released to everybody?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Great.
Easy. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Stay well. Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.